Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Speaking Out Against Domestic Violence. This is a special series that I'm doing all week long in obedience to the Lord. Amen. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you from New Creation Christian Ministries in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And we are, my husband and I are excited to be used of the Lord in this particular forum. This is one of the platforms that God has allowed us to go and preach the gospel, to tell people the good news that no matter how bad things are, no matter how sick and tired you are being sick and tired, no matter how much you find yourself being abused and misused and neglected, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to live like that. So I'm in obedience coming to you again. This is my third day coming to you and speaking out against domestic violence. This is my third day. I had a 12 o'clock noon broadcast today on my other program, so I had to push this one over to 1:30. And I am inviting every single minister out there, every single person that is outraged about domestic violence, to call in today, tomorrow, or Friday to let your voice be heard on this topic. If you have something to say, I want to hear about it. And if you have some words of wisdom or encouragement, then the people that listen to this broadcast need to hear about it. They may not be listening live, but they may be listening via the archive, and they do need to hear what you have to say in this particular area. So you are free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-4832. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you for a special broadcast, Speaking Out Against Domestic Violence. And again, I spoke about having an interview with Apostle Matthew Tillery at 12 noon today. That is a word that if you are a member of a church, if you're a member of the body of Christ, you need to hear that word. So I want to steer you towards my other broadcast, blogtalkradio.com/BibleTalk, and have you listen in on what the Lord has spoken through the man of God. Amen. Amen and praise God. Well, I believe in prayer, and I'm going to go ahead and open us in prayer. Father God, I praise your holy name. Lord, I worship you. I magnify your name. You are worthy to be praised. There's none like you, Lord, and I just worship you on today, and I lift your name on high, God. There is no other place and no other thing that I'd rather be or that I would rather be doing than serving you and giving you the glory in my life. So I pray right now, Father God, for those who have been impacted by domestic violence. I pray for every listener who will listen who has had to be a victim of this domestic violence. Father God, I pray for the Hudson family. Father God, for Jennifer Hudson and her family, for her sister Julia, Father God. I pray, Father God, for healing, Father God, and restoration, even as they are dealing with the death of their mother and their brother and Julia's son, and Jennifer's nephew, Julian. Lord, I ask that you let your healing mercies wash over the two of these young women, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We come against the hand of the devil, Father God, against their lives, Father God, trying to stomp out what you have already ordained. Father God, draw them nearer. Draw them nearer to your cross. I pray for every woman and every man and every child who has been impacted by domestic violence. And Father God, I pray that you be with me during this next 40 minutes. Let your will be done. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for healing and souls to be saved and restoration and captives to be free. And Father God, the eyes of the blind to be open. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and praise God. Hallelujah. Again, this is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I am here to talk to you about domestic violence. Domestic violence is any type of violence that's acted out in the home or in the family where someone's life or someone's spirit is in danger of being snuffed out, amen, where people are actually finding themselves being killed, being controlled, being abused, being battered, any type of sexual or physical harm or even mental or emotional harm that's perpetrated against a person can be considered to be domestic violence. And here I am, the Lord told me to come, so here I am in obedience, coming to reach one or two or 10 or 100 or 1,000 that may be impacted by this horrible, horrible thing that is so prevalent in the homes of men and women today. I grew up with domestic violence. My father was an abuser, and my mother and his children, we were victims. And I thank God that he saved and delivered my father, that he healed my father from being abusive. He healed my father from the anger that was in his heart that caused him to lash out. And also he healed my mother from the anger and from the physical and emotional and mental harm that she had to endure as a result of my father's violent nature. And I thank God that he healed myself and my sisters and my brother from the impact that my father's anger had on us. So coming from a domestically violent home, I just want to just flow and speak to you as from one person to another about the fact that domestic violence is something that is very, very harmful. As we know from the news on last week and even still in the headlines today, the family of Jennifer Hudson was impacted greatly by domestic violence. The boyfriend of Jennifer Hudson's sister, Julia, is the prime suspect in the crimes that were perpetrated against her mother, her brother, and her nephew on last week. And we pray for them, my church and our church. We're lifting up Jennifer Hudson and her sister Julia in prayer on this particular week, as that God would strengthen them and that God would help them to make it through this very difficult time. As you can see, I'm really, really pushing through this because it's very hard for me to deal with this topic, knowing that so many people are still right in the middle of it, enduring domestic violence, enduring being battered as a wife or being abused as a daughter or being molested as a child in a domestically violent home. I am being very cautious with my words because I don't just want to treat this as something that's not important. I don't want to mishandle what God has given me to do. I want to make sure that I'm doing the assignment that God has given me to do and that I'm doing it properly in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. So as I was saying, our prayers are going out to the Hudson family, to Jennifer Hudson and her sister and their families. And listen, my sister, listen, my brother, my prayers also go out to you. My prayers also go out to you if you find yourself being a victim or if you find yourself suffering from the end results of being raised in a domestically violent home. So many people go to church and they hide behind a mask because they are maybe the preacher's daughter or maybe your father was one of the favorite deacons or your mother was on the nurse's ministry or something like that, and you grew up in church and you had to hide behind the mask the whole time because you were going back home to a domestically violent home. And even now as a child of God, you find yourself not really knowing how to receive God as your father because you have had to endure so much growing up in the church with parents who came to church on Sunday but went home and raised all kind of hell on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And God has had you to tune in, not by chance, but he had you to tune in so that you could hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the truth is that God has a better plan for your life. The book of Jeremiah tells us that God has a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that's the one version, but the King James Version says that God's plan, his thoughts for you are for good and not for evil, thoughts to bring you to an expected end. So even though you felt yourself going through and there were so many things that you had to endure as a child, and even now as an adult, God wants you to know that he has a better plan for your life and that he's going to bring you out victorious. God's going to bring you out victorious. No matter what you're going through right now, I want you to know that if you just stay the course, if you stick with God, if you get into his presence, if you allow yourself to be loved by God, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, and whomsoever believed on him would not perish but would have everlasting life, life eternally. If you allow yourself to be loved by God, if you receive the love of God, if you get into the Spirit of God, if you learn what God's Word says about you, if you allow yourself to love God, we love God because he first loved us. If you allow yourself to trust God enough to love him, then God can heal your broken heart. He can bring you out from that dire situation. He can bring you out from that abusive relationship. Oh, yes, he can. God can heal you. God is a healer, and he has a great plan for your life. His plan is great. Oh, yes, it is. God's plan is great. So I want to encourage you in the Word. I want to encourage you just from my heart to your heart. You know, the chat room is open. The phone lines are open. 646-652-4832. You can come into the chat room if you want to communicate with me via chat. If you have a prayer request, you can call in if you want to let your voice be heard on this domestic violence issue. I'm tempted to close the chat room, because I sense that some people need to come in anonymously. You need to come in and listen. But I'm going to leave the chat room open, because that's going to be your way of walking to the altar. You know, sometimes we have to fix stuff in our lives, but we can't fix it until we face it. So I want to encourage you to face it. Face the fact that you're in a relationship that may or may not be working. Amen. And all week long I've been reading from the Bible about what real love is. I want to let you know that real love is not being kicked or stomped or slapped or spit at or spit on. It's not being pushed or shoved or thrown to the ground. Real love is not being cheated on and lied to. Real love is not being put somewhere in the corner on the down low while your man goes home to his wife and kids, while at the same time he's telling you that you're the only woman for him. Real love is not being screamed at or controlled or called out of your name. That is not real love. Real love is not someone having you being in relationship with them while they are in relationship with someone else. Real love is not being someone's other woman or other man, not being someone's booty call. Real love is not being a sex toy or a sex object. That's not real love. Real love is outlined in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Before I read that, I'll tell you in layman's terms that real love is when someone is kind to you, when someone is caring, when someone loves you enough not to retaliate in anger by putting their hands on you. Real love is when someone is proud to have you on their arm as their husband or as their wife. Real love is when someone loves you enough to commit to you, to marry you, to make a lifelong commitment to you. Real love is when someone speaks to you in a gentle voice, Real love is when someone refuses to violate you by being violent with you. Real love is when someone respects you and honors you and loves you and cherishes you. Real love is when someone provides for you and protects you. Amen. Hallelujah. Real love is when somebody gives you the freedom to be yourself. They're not pushing you into a corner and making you conform to what they believe that you should be or who they believe that you should be. Real love is just that. It's real. Is real. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 says, charity, and it uses the word charity in place of love, and charity means love. It says that charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Charity beareth all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Amen. And that's just a definition of charity from the Bible. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to say hello to Mrs. D. Neal. God bless you, Dana. So good to see you. I want to let you know that you need to go back and listen to the archive. Dana, you are going to be so blessed. Listen to the archive at blogtalkradio.com/BibleTalk. You are going to be so blessed. Apostle Matthew Tillery, who is our apostle, the apostle for New Creation Christian Ministries, was on the air with me today. Pastor Anthony was there also, but Apostle brought forth a word from the Lord, and you want to go and hear that word. It's a Rhema word. It's a Kairos word. It's the word for this season, for your life and for my life. You are going to be so blessed, but stay with me because I just love having you with me, and I appreciate your faithfulness because we are still in the week of speaking out against domestic violence. But when you get off, when you get some time later, go back to blogtalkradio.com/BibleTalk. And I invite everyone who's listening right now to go back and listen to that later on today. Amen. Because God has spoken a word for the church. Amen. For the Christian. Amen. And the apostle brought the word. Amen. And praise God. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons coming to you from New Creation Christian Ministries. And if I sound like I'm, you know, a little out of breath, it's because this is my second broadcast. I was on for an hour at 12, from 12 to 1, and I wanted to be faithful to what the Lord has told me to do, to come and do this speaking out against domestic violence on today. He told me to do it all week, and I'm being obedient. Let me tell you that obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Just do what God has told you to do. Do what God is telling you to do. Be obedient to the voice of God. Apostle Tillery at 12 o'clock talked about hearing the voice of God and obeying the voice of God. And that's what we have to do. Look, it may not make sense. There may only be one person or two people that will come to hear what God has told you to say. There may only be one or two people that will come and support the vision that God has given you. But I want to encourage you to keep pressing forward in the directive that the Lord has given you. Keep pressing forward in the directive that the Lord has given you. Do what God has told you to do. Do what God tells you to do. Keep your ear inclined to hear from God. Keep your ear inclined through prayer. Go before the Lord and pray and communicate with God. Commune with Him. Go before the Lord in His Word. Read the Word not out of obligation, but out of adoration, because you love God, because you want to hear from Him, because you want to know more about what He has to say to you for this season in your life. And obey God. It may not look like God is bringing forth a harvest in your life, but if you continue to obey God, you will see the harvest. in the name of Jesus. So obey God. Keep doing what God is telling you to do. Amen. No matter what it looks like. That's why the word that Apostle Tillery brought was so powerful, because he spoke about the fact that no matter what it looks like, sometimes it will look like nobody's listening. Sometimes it will look like nobody's supporting us. Sometimes for you who are in a domestic violent relationship, it will look like you can't get out, that there was no way out. Sometimes if you're the abuser, it will look like you can never change, that you will never stop abusing, that you will never stop yelling, that you will never stop pushing. But I want to let you know today that God says that you can do all things through Christ Jesus, who empowers you, who strengthens you, who gives you the ability to do what God is telling you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't be discouraged if you find yourself lashing out at your children or lashing out at your husband. And Dana Neal is in the chat room with me, and she's praising God because God has delivered her and God has delivered me from being abusive, from having abusive tendencies. And today I want to focus on that a little bit. I want to focus on those of us who have those abusive tendencies. When you have a tendency to lash out, when you have a tendency to fight, when you have a tendency to provoke the person that you say you love to make them fight you. I've already read from the book of 2 Corinthians, from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that what love is and what love is not. And sometimes we have a tendency, amen, to be the abuser. And I want to welcome Tina Michelle. She came to the second show. My God, hallelujah. She was at the 12 o'clock noon hour broadcast with Apostle Tillery, and she's here for the second show. Amen. So God bless you, Tina Michelle. But sometimes we have a tendency to be abusive. And I don't believe that enough people are focusing on the tendency that we have to be abusive. Everybody wants to talk about being abused, but nobody wants to talk about being the abuser. So during this week of speaking out against domestic violence, today, on Wednesday, I want to talk about the fact that a lot of us have the tendency to be abusive. Dana Neal is saying in the chat room, she says, I was the abuser. She says, emotionally and physically. She says, but I am healed. Hallelujah. She says that he's not healed, but she can only change herself. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Tina Michelle says that she blocked this week, last week, with her assistant. She'll be speaking with me on tomorrow on Woman to Woman, when Tina Michelle, who's a biblical life coach, and prophetess Angie Singletary, along with myself, will be sharing on this very topic. We're going to speak out. The devil does not want us to speak out against domestic violence, but we don't run according to the devil's agenda. We run according to the Lord's agenda, as Apostle Tillery talked about earlier. It's a kingdom agenda. Amen. And let me say this. Let me just say this. Sometimes when you're moving with the kingdom agenda, you're going to come up against all kinds of opposition. As a matter of fact, every single time that you decide that you're going to move out with God's plan, you are going to come up against opposition. Like, for instance, if you're the abuser, like Dana Neal and myself, you know, we were abusive. I mean, I have to say, when I raised my first daughter, I was abusive to her to a point, because I did not give her the emotional support that I should have. And I did not give her the emotional love and support that I should have, because I was hurting, because I was emotionally bankrupt, you know, because I was broken and busted and disgusted, because I was suffering. I could not give her what she needed. Amen. So I was abusive towards her, and it takes a lot of courage to do what we're doing today, what Mrs. D. Neal and I are doing today. It takes a lot of courage to say that we were abusive. But when I got ready to turn it around and not be abusive and not be angry and not be lashing out at the people that I loved, I came against much opposition. The devil did not want me to change my wicked behavior. The devil did not want me to get saved. The devil did not want me to go to church. The devil did not want me to get a higher mindset, to get the mind of Christ. The devil wanted me to stay stuck in that low the bar way of living and the low the bar way of thinking. He wanted me to stay stuck treating people wrongly in my life, mistreating my husband, mistreating my daughter, mistreating my kids. But the devil is defeated. Hallelujah. And I thank God, hallelujah, that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. So what we're doing is we're being transparent. Mrs. D. Neal and myself, we're being transparent. We're being bold enough to say that we have made mistakes in the past, and it's because we were hurting. Hurting people hurt people. We were hurting, and we didn't know that any better. So we did what we knew. But now that we know better, we do better. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's all that we're calling you as an abuser to do. We're calling you to do better. Now that you know better, we're calling you to do better. You have an obligation to know. Look, your abusive behavior is not only hurting the person that you're hurting directly, but indirectly is hurting every person that's connected to you. It's hurting your children, is hurting those that you are in relationship with, is hurting your friends, and most importantly, is hurting you. Is hurting you. You know, we think that just when we lash out at other people that we're just hurting those other people, but really we're hurting ourselves. And I'm ministry, I'm going way back. I'm going way back to where God first called me into ministry. I'm ministering to you from the bare essentials. And you know what that is? My heart. I'm ministering to you from my heart, the bare essentials, to say, look, my heart and my experience and the blood of the Lamb, look, I've been there, done that, got some T-shirts, got some scars, and I ain't going back. Amen. Been there, done that, got some T-shirts, got some scars, and I ain't going back. If you're an abuser today, you can change. And you know how you can change? When you get the tendency to begin to abuse someone, just say that two-letter word, N-O. No. No, I will not hurt those that I love anymore. No, I will not lash out at my loved ones. No, I will not hit my children and hit them to the point of abusing them. No, I will not hit my wife or my husband. Because, again, you have a woman here who is saying that she was the abuser. So we have to know, you have two women here saying that they wanted to fight. You know, we wanted to be emotionally abusive. And you know what, Dana? Dana, you know what? Misery loves company. You know, Tina, Michelle, misery loves company. So when you're miserable, you want to go around making other people miserable. But what I want to offer to you is Jesus Christ, because Jesus allows us to go back into the presence of God. Through Christ, we'll reconcile to God in the relationship now where we can have a relationship with God the Father, our Father who art in heaven. And we can have now a relationship with God, because when we are not in relationship with God, that's when we're the most miserable. And when we don't realize the joy that can be found in the presence of the Lord, we don't know to go to God to get the joy that we find ourselves bankrupt of. So what we want to do is get Christ into our lives. And once we get Christ into our lives, we want to get into the presence of the Lord, because fullness of joy can be found in the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing can be found in the presence of the Lord. We need to get rid of all of the negativity in our lives. Again, I can't speak enough about Apostle Matthew Tillery and how he blessed us at the 12 o'clock hour right here on blogtalkradio.com/Bible Talk. And that man of God blessed us. Go to his website, tryfaithministries.org, and get his book, Change the Way You Think. Because abuser, and even you who are being abused, is going to change the way that you see yourself. And you will no longer want to hurt other people when you change the way that you think about yourself and about those whom you are in relationship with. You will no longer allow yourself to be abused when you change the way that you think about yourself and about those that you allow yourself to be in relationship with. Amen. Amen. And praise God. I want to open up the phone lines. The chat room is open, and I'm going back to the chat room because Mrs. D. Neal and Tina Michelle are sharing with me in the chat room, and I want to let all of the listeners who are streaming and who are listening via the archive know what they're saying. The phone number, if you want to call in and be on the air and let your voice be heard, is 646-652-4832. Now, what is amazing me about this week, and I'm not going to get discouraged about it because the Apostle Tillery told me to stay in my lane, and just do my assignment. So I'm going to stay in my lane and do my assignment. But I want to tell you what fascinates me is that I put out a call on MySpace, in the Rise group, and here on Blog Talk Radio for ministers to call in and let their voice be heard on these topics during this week. And I haven't heard from any of the ministers. There are so many ministers out here on Blog Talk Radio, and I know everybody has an agenda. We all have something that we've been called to talk about. But what better topic to enlighten people and to speak words of edification and exhortation and encouragement into the lives of people, to emancipate people and educate people, than on the topic of domestic violence? You know, that we can call in and minister in this area and get a platform to say, you know what, Pastor Rebecca is sharing on domestic violence this week with her team, with Pastor Anthony and Biblical Life Coach Tina Michelle and Prophetess Angie Singletary, and yes, Dana Neal, who is a part of my team, that we're sharing on this topic. Let us call in and let our voice be heard. Amen. And so many people are staying away from this forum right now because it's a difficult one. But I want to have you call in and let your voice be heard. So the phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. Don't let the devil stop you from calling in and letting your voice be heard. I recall when God first started calling on me to speak. He called me to speak and give my testimony, and I was like, sitting on my testimony. Have you ever been there? Well, you're just sitting on your testimony. You're like, oh, no, what are people going to think about me? What are they going to say? What if I stutter? What if I say, what if I mess up? All of those what ifs are the very things that are going to stop you from walking into the fullness of your purpose today and from God getting the glory in your life today. Amen. So you need to just push past those what ifs. That's fear disguised. So that's fear in disguise, and just push past the what is. If you're streaming right now and you hear me, I'm asking you to call in and let your voice be heard on this topic. 646-652-4832. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want to go in and get back in the chat room because Mrs. D. Neal is at work, and she can't call in, but she's chatting. So I'm going to be her voice today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Mrs. D. Neal says, amen. Change self. Dana said, Tina Michelle says, amen. Change yourself and impact others. And Mrs. D. Neal says that being transparent allows us to have a testimony and strong ministries for others. And she goes on to say, I all have a testimony, Tina Michelle says, and Mrs. D. Neal goes on and says that we are sure that all we have is our testimony. We have some souvenirs and those that we keep too long. She says, but now that I am happy, I want others to be happy. Hallelujah. She says, now that she's happy, she wants others to be happy. And she says, look at the blessings bestowed upon her because she has been obedient, my God. And she goes on to say that it was her fault. You know, she was unequally yoked. She says she's unequally yoked, and it's her fault. And she says she repented. And that God is moving her, my God. God is moving her. Amen. So that's Mrs. D. Neal, and I want to welcome Ms. Quiet Storm. And I am welcoming everyone to call in and let your voice be heard on this topic of speaking out against domestic violence. So far, you've heard myself and Pastor Anthony, and tomorrow I'll be on with my co-host, Tina Michelle, and also Prophetess Angie Singletary. I do have a call right now, and I'm going to put her on, her or him on the line. I believe I know who it is. And also, Mrs. D. Neal has spoken out. God is going to bless you all for speaking out this week against domestic violence. Area code 845, you're on the air. Welcome to Speaking Out Against Domestic Violence.
Hello, this is Tina Michelle.
God bless you. I thought that was your phone number. I should know your phone number by now. God bless you, Tina Michelle. Thank
amen,
you so much
amen.
For being with me and for calling in.
Yes, you know, I was praying about the topic, and I was praying about all the long-term impacts of domestic violence, physical, verbal, emotional, and even spiritual violence that happens in our households. And I was just looking at myself, because that's the only people I can, you know, I can really, that's the only person I can really talk about and judge is myself.
Yeah.
So, and I thought about times where I was unequally yoked with people, just unequally yoked. And sometimes that causes you to have an attitude, be mean. You're just not in the place that you need to be. And being with a person that you totally don't gel with, or they don't gel with you, even in marriage at times, I saw that when the vision shifted in my own marriage, it was very difficult to tolerate just regular conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't realize that your mouth and everything that you're doing, you know, that it's a seed. It could go further. You can catch it at that little tiny seed form. God gives you that ability and stop that violence and stop it so it doesn't go any further. And I think you and Pastor Anthony were talking about that, about just sometimes you just have to get out if it gets too intense, to have a soft answer if it gets too deep. And I didn't have that sense all the time, especially when I was younger, and my mouth would just run.
Yeah.
Run. So that's, you know, that's not a way to treat people either. That's not a way to treat people. So I thank God for that. I was just thinking about my own life, my own experiences, and the things that God was showing me about myself. And there's times where I just shouldn't have been in that situation. There was no grace for it. There was no
wow.
grace for it.
Amen. And praise God. And I thank God that it is, you know, he brought you through, though. He brought you out. And I know that we've been, you know, I have privy information to, you know, your testimony. And when the Lord leads you to share it, then you'll share it. But I want to just thank God for you calling in and just letting your voice be heard. Like I said, I put a clarion call out for ministers and people of God or anybody who wanted to call and speak out against domestic violence. It's not necessarily a platform for just myself to be heard, but I want mm-hmm. others to be heard. So mm-hmm. I just want you to, if you have anything else that you want to share, I want you just to feel free to go ahead and share.
Mhm. Mhm. I mean, just recently coming out of a divorce, it's very difficult sometimes to see what's what, who's who, especially when you sort of, you're a coach, so you have a tendency to coach yourself, and you want to see the best in situations. So you might have the tendency to even stay in a situation because you're looking for God to move and change. And we literally went through 5 years of counseling. And my ex-husband is a wonderful person. He's just a great individual.
Amen.
It's just when it came to us being together, it became a volatile situation. So the choice that I was making was not so much a choice. You hear people say, well, divorce, people are so frivolous about divorce. To me, it was saving my life and saving my sanity and also intervening for my children, because it got to the point where the vision that we had for ministry, for life, for love, for raising our children, and we walked that vision together for 11 years, suddenly shifted. So some people say, well, you marry a person, you know who they are. Things change, too. Different things can impact a relationship that we have no idea how it's going to affect us long-term emotionally or spiritually. And it was of my thought that even though these things and what specifically impacted our relationship was 9/11, because he was in the middle of all that.
Okay.
And he was seized with terror. You know, he was seized with fear. And I saw a different person. And So it became hard for us to even communicate with each other because of the fear that was in the middle of the relationship, and it became very volatile, very, very volatile.
Wow. And I'm hearing that abusers can be very nice people. You know, we already have determined that abusers can be men or women, and that abusers can also be very nice people. But I'm also hearing on Tuesday, Pastor Anthony and I were talking about this same topic, and we talked about being unequally yoked, knowing who you're yoking up with. But your testimony is a little bit different because you married a Christian man and you were a Christian woman at the time that you got married. So you saw yourself to be equally yoked at the time that you actually walked down the aisle.
That's right. That's right. I mean, no one could have told me that things would shift the way that they shifted. No one could have told me that. I learned everything from my ex-husband. We were married for 17 years, going on 18. So I learned everything. I learned the word of God from him. He's a powerful teacher. But when fear or something impacts a situation, an unknown thing, and the Bible is not the blueprint, the core doctrine, and God is not the center anymore. God is something that's a little bit on the outside, and if you really need him, you know, say a prayer, throw a prayer up, and maybe something will happen. You really don't have safety. I didn't have the security that I had in the beginning of my marriage, knowing that no matter how we disagreed, no matter what was going on, we can agree to disagree and we can go to the Word and we can flush it out in the Word of God, and prayer was the prevalent thing. Suddenly fear was the prevalent theme in my household, the prevalent atmosphere, and I found myself in a corner praying. Whereas my whole house was a house of prayer. I found myself hiding away, praying and reading my word, and I became intimidated. I became timid, and it was someone else who pointed it out to me, who said, "Where are you? Where are you? Where's the teen I knew? You're helping everybody. You're doing this. You're like a wounded warrior, bleeding, but you're giving your last." You're giving your last to everyone. God requires you to operate from the overflow, and he requires you to live that life and have it more abundantly as he has given it to you. He doesn't expect you to just sit there and be a martyr.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that I took on the position of martyrdom, and then I had to listen to my beautiful rhetoric. I had rhetoric for this, right? It was, it doesn't matter. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. I don't care if people hate me.
Wow.
I don't care if they hate me. It sounded good and strong and stoic and noble. But the bottom line was, yeah, that might be true, especially the people around you, but you shouldn't have to worry about your safety in your household.
Wow.
Go ahead.
We preach this. I preached this a couple of weeks ago. Don't let the scripture just be rhetoric for you. Let it be something that's actually in your heart that you can pull upon in hard times. And even though you may feel like it was rhetoric, I just sense that that is what brought you through, you know,
exactly.
That your confession of that
exactly.
brought you through and strengthened you enough to say, you know what, I have King Jesus, and you were declaring something. You were like, as long as I have King Jesus, and you came out of that relationship, and you still have King Jesus.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, I mean, that's the flip side. The flip side is God has blessed me, and it might sound crazy to say this, but being in a situation like that has taught me to pray, taught me get on my face, taught me to love when no one's loving you and the unlovable, taught me to press into the promises of God, taught me to deal with me. Because when something kept coming up, I kept saying, Lord, where is my part?
Mm.
Where is my part?
Wow.
Purify me as the sons of Levi.
Hallelujah.
Make me like gold and silver. Anoint my ear, my hand, and my feet as you did with the Levitical priest. Help me to understand what it looks like to be in the beauty of your holiness. And who is this King of glory, the Lord God strong and mighty, the Lord God mighty in battle? The scriptures that are in my heart are there because that's all I had was the word.
Wow.
There is no evidence of change around me. And actually, it would get worse when I was, times.
My God, so Tina Michelle, the rhetoric was saying, as long as I have King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. It doesn't matter if they hate me. while you was allowing yourself to stay in an unsafe environment, you were saying it's all right, I'm fine, it's all good. That was rhetoric because that wasn't really true. And
yeah,
then you had the word of the Lord that was not rhetoric, that was stored up into your heart, that was your lifeline.
Yes, because I made that decision. As long as I had King Jesus, you know, I didn't know what that meant. All I knew was that I had a decision to make a few years ago when it actually got to be a really hard situation emotionally. I had to make a decision. I said, Lord, you know, these things are being said about me. Now I'm going back to you because if it is me, I come to you humbly. I will change whatever I need to change so I can
Amen.
Be your servant and serve this man as his wife. I will do whatever you tell me to do so I can serve this. I'll go to counseling. I'll go wherever you want me to go because there's two people. There's two sides of the story. And, again, we were married for 11-something years, and we had some spats here and there, but it was never like this, not continuous. So I knew surely there must be something that I could have done.
Wow.
Clinging on to the Lord and just being in his face helped me to see the truth. And then he helped me to add patience because if I would have emotionally reacted to the situation, the impact would have been greater. It was an emotional abuse, but he showed me how to follow after the Spirit, even under hard fire at times.
Wow.
Hard fire. But the rhetoric, it became rhetoric when I knew that it was no longer true that I had to be in the presence of someone who saw me for whatever reason as his enemy.
Yeah.
That no longer became true. So the same word that I had to make a decision about, I'm not going to whine, I'm not going to cry. There's some things that I was raised with as a Southern woman that I would never move from. One thing is God made Adam and Eve, not Adam, Eve, Susie Mae, and Johnny. So nobody was in my business unless the Lord sent it. So no one really knew what was going on except for people who were supposed to give me wise counsel because
right.
I was always trained to defend your home. Don't put your business out there and have a situation where you have gossip in your house. You have gossip. My grandmother taught me that, and I stuck to that. So I had to sit there and go, okay, you can be in the bathroom crying, because I used to go in the bathroom and just cry, and just sit on the floor of the bathroom and cry. You can sit there and cry, or you can sit here and see what God's going to do. In order to do that, you're going to have to see God and not yourself. So as long as you have King Jesus, you don't need anybody else.
Wow.
You got to put your emotional self, and not suppress the emotion, because that will make you crazy too, and then you'll flip and you'll be on the TV show called Snapped.
Yeah.
But to really hand it over to the Lord and continuously seek after his peace. He said, if you thirst after righteousness' sake, you will be filled. I leaned on every promise of that word, saying, Lord, let you be true and every man a liar, according to your word in Romans. Also, Lord, you said that you seek your word to perform it. I'm going to speak your word. You also said in the Old Testament, you said, give me no rest.
Wow. Well,
so
let me ask you, Mrs. Dean Neal said, yeah, sometimes you have to lay on the floor, prostrate, and don't get up until the Spirit lets you up. I've been
there.
Wrestle
like Jacob.
I know what that is.
Wrestle like Jacob.
Well, let me ask you, How did you push through the frustration? Were there times when you didn't feel like quoting scriptures? And what did you do during those times?
There was times that I failed miserably, and I did, and we would get into it, and I would say everything except for Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, you know, during the training times. That's what I considered the early stages of my flesh dying. And then there were times I knew that I didn't feel like it, but I had a choice. So that's when I knew that God was delivering me, because I actually felt the choice of what to do with my mouth.
Wow.
I felt the choice.
Wow.
So then I because I went from having an emotional experience that kept compelling me to respond, to react, right? Then I went to a willful decision of a choice to respond. And when I had the power of the choice, I knew he was healing or maturing me by his Spirit. And then I chose Jesus. Sometimes I didn't choose him. Then it became more and more I chose him, more and more I chose him. And then after a while, that entire conversation had no value and no effect.
Amen.
And that's when I was like, thank you, Lord. But now I was able to say, you know, meanwhile, and I want to add the balance to this, this wasn't just me suffering through it by myself. You know, I went to counseling. I went to marital exchanges in the church. I sought godly counsel. Because if something, someone is going through something, like you guys said yesterday, sometimes you just need to get away. It doesn't mean you have to get divorced.
Yeah.
You need to get away from that person. Okay? And especially after being married for so long, you don't just throw a person away. You don't do that. That's the father of my children. He took care of us. He was just going through something. And I wanted to know if he's going to go through it or if this was now going to become personality, character, and behavior.
Right.
So there was some space in between it. You know, there was about 5 to 6 years of counseling. And nothing
wow.
changed.
So you didn't give up. You didn't just say, that's it. You know, he's abusive. He's emotionally abusive. He's controlling. I'm divorcing him. But you fought that thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And praise God. Praise God. And God, but the end was divorce.
The end was divorce.
The end was divorce because he wasn't changing.
Well, one thing that did happen was that I said, okay, Lord, if this is what I think it is, then let it be amicable because we have two children who didn't ask for this.
Yes.
He didn't ask for it. My babies didn't ask to be in this situation. So the transition was probably one of the oddest ones that anyone has ever seen.
Wow.
He admittedly would say what happened. He'd admittedly say why the divorce is there. But he was not ready to do anything different. He would still explode, you know, just explode. And so we still in very powerful communication. We communicate well. We manage the children well. You know, and I constantly pray for him because I know that that same man of God, at any given time, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, with or without me, can occur, and he will be restored to himself.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that's just such a powerful testimony that the abuser, that's what we were saying earlier, the abuser can be restored. The abuser can be delivered. The abuser can be healed. But we want to curtail that type of behavior. If you're caught up in the tendency to be abusive, you want to curtail that type of behavior because you can lose everything. You can lose your family. You can lose your husband, your wife, your mind, your kids, you know, your peace and your joy. So you want to make sure that you are, and the key, I believe, is so staying in relationship with God. Tina, I don't know personally. I have met your husband, a wonderful, wonderful man, your ex-husband. I don't know because I didn't live with him, but I would like to take a guess that he probably disconnected in his relationship with God.
In his personal flow, it was actually, I was actually talking to a woman about this earlier who wants counsel about this, and because I'm a coach and a crisis counselor, you know, I do both, but his new lover became a video game and escapism. So whereas there was nothing but Bible study happening in our household, yes, we had fun, we did different things. It wasn't the theme to run and to escape. Suddenly, there was no communication. There was no talking. It was all about games and technology. And after a while, at first I thought I was being ridiculous, and he said I would be ridiculous. Oh, he's just having fun. And then I finally said to him, I said, you know, how does that balance out when we're not praying together anymore? You see, for a lot of people on the outside looking in, that's nothing. But I remember every year having a vision statement being made by this man.
Wow.
He was speaking the word over the house. There was a plan, there was a strategy. He went to the Lord about everything, fasting and praying, walked in the street and laid hands on the sick, and they would recover. So for me to see that, it was almost like watching someone die. It was devastating. And so then I said, okay, you know, folk play video games, not a big deal, you know, until it became 4 hours, 5 hours, all his free time. All the
wow.
free time. So that became the theme of our household, and I became the tyrant and the crazy person, and I literally sort of isolated my life and my walk with God to a little corridor, a little bedroom, because everything was about games.
Wow, praise the Lord.
It wasn't about the Spirit of God.
Well, praise the Lord for bringing you through. And
hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, mm-hmm. for bringing you through. And I still believe he's healing and delivering your ex-husband.
Yes, and I believe that too.
Yes, I do, because he is still the father of your children, and it is mm-hmm. God's plan that their father be balanced and healthy and happy mm-hmm. and in him. Mm-hmm. So we're just believing God for that. Now, in this last 6 minutes, and I thank you so much. Tina Michelle, you don't know, your obedience today is so key. I thank you for calling in, because this was given to me by God to speak for 1 week against domestic violence. Now, I don't know who it's for. I don't know who God's coming to save or deliver or bless, but I do know that my obedience is key. And just
yeah.
like you called in today, your obedience is blessing somebody, and your testimony
yeah.
is going to help somebody to get free out of being
yeah.
an abuser or out of being abused. And
yeah.
I just want you to just speak to that person. That person is listening, and just to speak some words of life into the life of somebody, whatever the Lord puts upon your heart, just to speak to the person who's being abused, to the person who is an abuser, to maybe a child who's in that environment. Whatever the Lord leads you to speak, I just want you to just take some time and speak.
Mm. Well, first, for the child. The child did not ask to be there, and they're depending completely on you, the abuser and the abused, to show them right from wrong, to show them the love of God, to show them how to be, to respond, to behave, to show them how to be true about their walk with Jesus Christ. Your child is watching you. My mother wrote a poem called "The Children Are the Windows to Your Home." So be careful of what you do in front of your windows.
Wow.
They did not ask to be there. So I plead for the children more so, because I did not move until I saw my children being impacted. So if there's children involved, think about what they're learning. For the abuser, whatever your pain is, whatever that thing is that's in you, that's raging in you, get counseling, get help, because God did not create you to be used of the enemy in this manner. You are called to be a blessing, and you are a blessing, and you have great value. The enemy is using this secret that you have, this conduct that you have in the house that you think nobody knows about. He's using that to stifle your walk, to distract and delay the call that's on your life. And to the woman or the man who is abused, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God invested so much in you, so much love and power in you. He was so concerned about you that he didn't just sit on the throne of heaven to look at you from afar off, but he put on flesh and he came to the earth in the form of Jesus Christ just for you. You have value. He loves you. Reach out to him and experience the love of God. He will give you wisdom. He will give you the strength to make whatever those steps are that need to be made to secure you and your children. If there's no children involved, you're worth it too.
Yes.
So that you no longer have to be abused. Draw the lines and the boundaries and say no more when it comes to improper communication or even physical contact. Do what you have to do to be safe, and then go and refill yourself or fill yourself with the Spirit of the living God. If you don't know Jesus Christ on this day, all of this was handled on the cross.
Yes.
Through his blood, through the blood of Jesus, his blood hitting the ground, redeemed us from all elements of the curse of the law. That means, in simple talk, you don't have to take this because you're Jesus' child.
Mm.
You belong to him, and you are a blessing and a trophy before God. How dare someone touch his children and his prophets? So you just need to know that it's worth it to save your life. It's worth it. And the lies that the enemy tells you, I got to stay for the kids because I don't have any money. I got to stay for this and got to stay for that. Can I tell you, if you make a decision and God has spoken to you about your course and direction, and you can get it in the word and through godly counsel, as well as his Spirit giving you affirmation and confirmation, It's important. Flush it out in the spirit. God will make a way. He will make a way. For wherever you have to do and wherever you have to go, he will change the whole flow.
Amen.
So that he can get to his child and provide for his child because he loves you.
Yes. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for those words. And I know somebody's receiving them right now in the name of Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, as Tina said, you can know him. All you have to do is believe that he came and he lived and he died for you and for me so that we could come back into relationship with God the Father.
Amen.
And that our sins are covered in his blood, that our sins are covered and we are reconciled to the Father by the Son. Amen. And that all of your sins are forgiven and you could come to him with your hurt, your pain, your heartache, everything. Just believe that he got up. He got up with all power in his hand and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Make him Lord in your life. Make him Lord.
Yes.
You might not understand it all in the beginning, but just make Jesus the Lord in your life, and he will change your life. He will heal your broken heart. He will stop you from being so angry, feeling like you have to abuse. Everything will change with Jesus. When Jesus comes on the scene, things change for the better. Amen, and praise God. We only have 35 seconds. Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow, woman to woman, right here on blogtalkradio.com/power. Tune in tomorrow. Tina Michelle will be back on tomorrow. So will Prophetess Singletary be back with me tomorrow all week long. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your voice. Call us tomorrow at 12 noon, blogtalkradio.com/power. And let us hear you speak out against domestic violence. God bless you, virtuous one. We're going off the air. Tina Michelle, God bless you. God bless you, everyone. We will see you next time right here on Speaking Out Against Domestic Violence. And go back and listen to the archive, blogtalkradio.com/BibleTalk. You will be blessed. Amen. And
amen.
Praise God. Tina, I will see you tomorrow. God bless you.